May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Jed cursed me in his presentation. He said one of the things he enjoys is that sometimes on Sunday mornings I'm obviously prepared to do one thing and there's like this click and I know I'm supposed to do something else. I'm glad that Jed enjoys that. I rarely do. I'm not the great man of faith that Jed is. So it just happened. Thank you, Jed. And I have made thy name known to them, Father, and will make it known to them, that the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them, and I in them. As I've been mentioning the last few days, is that the story of the life of Jesus is not just information for us to be fascinated with. It's an invitation to participate in the same kind of extravagant life. As a matter of fact, he guarantees us the possibility. Jesus as a man lived that life because he was in the Father's in him. And Jesus said, now I'm going to go prepare a place for you through the death, burial, and resurrection so that you can experience the same thing I've experienced. As the Father sent me, so send I you. And so as I've lived this extravagant life of love and absolute utter dependence and faith in my Father, you can too because you're going to be in me and I'm going to be in you. And in the upper room discourse, this last extravagant conversation with his discipleship group before he goes to the cross, he's spelling out about being in Christ and Christ in him by the example of him being in the Father and in him. And he's luring them into a place of faith and radical faith. Luke talked about abiding and abiding life. But he also talked to them about radical love. And he said things like, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And he said, if you keep my commandments, it means you love me and we'll love you. You'll experience our love and we'll make our abode in you. So he calls them to a place of radical faith, but he calls them to a place of radical love. And he says, my example of loving my Father is not just, again, a story of information. So you can look back and go, wow, it's an invitation to love God as I've loved the Father with that kind of intensity. Because radical faith is based on radical love. Faith works how? Through love, Galatians 5:6. Now, you may have heard me share this before, but bear with me. I'm kind of like Jesus in John 6, just kind of like Jesus. In John 6, when Jesus healed the man and all the Pharisees got angry because he had not, for 39 years or 38 years, remember? But he healed him on the Sabbath. And so they're like wanting to kill Jesus. And Jesus finally stops them all. He said, look, don't blame me. I just do what I see the Father doing. It's the Lord Father who's busting out your system. He's the one who's telling you what normal. Normal is loving people and breaking the rules if you have to do that to love people. And because Jesus came to explain God. That's what it says in John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time, but Jesus has explained him. As the Father sent me, so send I you. We continue that mission to a lost and dying world to explain God, for them to see a manifestation of the living God through his body. And part of what that looks like is this radical relationship that involves radical love. And this is, so if you've heard me tell this story before, bear with me. I'm just doing what I see the Father doing, and I'm saying what I hear the Father saying. I've been praying that this week a lot. And last week I've been praying, okay, God, you said Jesus did what he saw the Father doing. He only said those things he heard the Father saying. I get it. Now, help me see what the Father's doing. Help me see what you're up to. Help me hear what you're saying. And so he's got to go for it, right? You've got to risk it, right? Because you never get it if you don't go for it. So here's the thing. Jesus lures us into this place. This invitation to participate in this extraordinary life. Because the first and great commandment is what? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. It has to start there. Everything starts there. Then you can live a life of radical faith, abiding, supernatural life, all that. This is John chapter 14. Jesus is speaking to them and he's comforting them and he says, verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave to you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, got nothing to do with circumstances, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you at Pentecost. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I am. Now I have told you before it comes to pass that when it comes to pass, you may believe. I'm telling you so that you won't be freaking out when I go away. You haven't figured it all out yet, but at least don't be afraid. Then he goes and says these amazing things and explains how much he loves the Father and in the process is inviting us in to love God like that. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, talking about the crucifixion, but he has nothing in me. He said, even though the ruler of the world is going to be doing some stuff, and it's not going to make any sense to you, and it's going to look like disaster, it's going to look like all your dreams and hopes are coming to an end, understand he's not in control of this. He may be getting people to do horrible things and have evil thoughts and murderous stuff in their heart. He says, but he has no part of my story. He says, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. He says, now arise, let us go from here. You can't go anywhere unless you go from here. You may hunger to move in signs and wonders. You may hunger to impact the world that God's placed you in, that surrounds you, this your city that involves your life, those closest and beyond, like Luke was talking about earlier. He said, but you can't arise unless you go from here. And here's the story. Here's the cross. The cross wasn't the devil's story. It was a love story. And Jesus said, even though the enemy's involved and he's stirring up people to do evil things, carry out my crucifixion, you're going to see them do horrible things to you, the devil has no part with me. What's going to happen is so that the whole world will know how much I love God. I'm obedient to his commandment. You know, the Father sent Jesus. Jesus was in absolute agreement with the cross. What did it say? If you love me, you'll do what? Just previous in this conversation, you'll keep my commandments. And he says, here's what it looks like. That you'll have such a desire to love God that your obedience will be so extravagant, you'll die a humiliating death because you want the whole world to know how much you love God. That's what he's invited us into. We contemplate, Lord, I don't know whether you want me to eat that extra thing or not. Or, Lord, I don't know if I'm supposed to, you know, I think I'm hearing you about talking to that person about Jesus. I don't know. We got to get past that kindergarten stuff. And we're living the story that he's invited us to live in and that we would love God with the extravagance that he did. He said, I so love him, I want to keep his commandment. And if it means my death, I want the whole world to know how much I love him. He said, that's what it means. That's what I'm asking you to join. It goes beyond just where you actually talk to that person about Jesus. It means something extraordinary and extravagant. That's the heart of obedience. Obedience is an act of extravagant love. And if that's what's driving you, you'll do extravagant things for him. Take extravagant measures. That's the kind of love story that young adults want to be a part of. We get old, we want a nice, easy love, soft love, no risk involved because of fear. But I love young adults because their love is fearless. They want something that's going to cost you something. They want a love that has involvement, commitment, at risk. You'd give your life for it. They want something that's epic, that's real. They want part of a big story. They don't want to live a little story every day of their life. Because they were created for something. They have a heavenly vision in them. We should be modeling that more than any of them, us older people. We're the ones who should be setting that pace and going, see, love God like this. This is the life. This is living. When you love someone so much, you would give everything every day. And you do things and crazy things like when you're 83 years old, Daniel fasted for 21 days because I want to do something that costs me something. Because I love him. I don't want to shuffle my way into heaven. Like I said earlier, collecting my spiritual social security check. I want to live and die jumping off the cliff in love for Him. Amen? Isn't that what you want? Isn't that to give you purpose in life? Everything about the kingdom and life in Christ and Christ in you is about life. That's extraordinary. It's a big story. It's a big deal. Jesus says, I invite you into this. I want you to love God the way I love God. I'm going to come live inside of you by the Holy Spirit to help you. And the love of God's going to be shed abroad in your hearts. But what I want you to do is love Him so much that with everything that you do, no matter what it might cost you, you show the whole world how much you love me. God, give me chances to do that. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.